The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 2, Scene 20. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
And I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
Later in this episode, we'll be talking to Phil Crosby of Richmond Triangle Players about their 25th season. But first, we're going to talk about Cash on Delivery, which is at Swift Creek Mill Theater through June 24th. This is a British farce about a man who's scamming their social support system, and he invents ever more implausible lies to keep his deception from being exposed.
I'll start out. I normally am not a big fan of farce. I thought this was really good. I thought it was really funny. And I think the extra piece, what really put it over, was Kenneth Putnam. His reactions, his comedic timing played well off of Richard Cook. The ending went on a little bit longer, but that's the script than perhaps I would have liked. But overall, I thought it was very funny.
Good. And the audience the night we were there, Claire, they thought it was very funny too. I thought it was less funny. What did you think?
I thought it was really funny. I liked the ensemble. I thought all of the actors were working together and playing off of each other really well. I agree that Kenny Putnam was the star of this show.
Right, right. Just for anybody who happened to have seen Heir Apparent, he was the diminutive attorney who kind of walked away, literally, with that show, too.
Yeah. And he was also very good in Assassins as Sam Bick.
Right, right.
The Firehouse did it.
So he's a talent. I'll have to say I felt like Richard Cook was working a little too hard, and maybe he felt like he had to, but I felt he was just really pushing a little bit. I did think the rest of the cast was pretty strong. They were pretty energetic. I thought one of the interesting things about the show, Michael Cooney is the son of Ray Cooney, and Ray Cooney has written half a dozen very popular of these kinds of farces. And I felt this one was not up to his father's work. I felt like it was a lot of the same mistaken identity, confusion going on, but I thought it was just more talky. And I kept waiting for all the slamming doors and all the running around, and it took a long time to get to that.
Well, perhaps, you know, maybe it's a generational thing. I'm slightly younger than you, Jerry.
Just barely.
Just barely.
You haven't experienced good farce.
Apparently. Or maybe I've only seen bad farce. I normally really, really do not like farce. But this I thought was very funny. It may be that longer setup. Maybe it's less wacky, but still mistaken identities and some door slamming hit me really well. Yeah, I thought the ensemble was pretty good. Mike White, I haven't seen him much. He played Uncle George. His ability to play a guy who's passed out for half the time.
Right. Yeah.
Very physical acting.
Yeah.
And I thought he pulled it off. If I could nitpick about one thing, if you're going to be in a play that takes place in England, maybe have a good British accent.
I thought they were, like, on the whole, pretty good.
I thought they had terrible British accents.
I thought a couple people dropped them.
I used to date a British person. The accents were terrible.
Really? Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. I enjoyed them. I thought they were hilarious. I mean, not realistic British accents, but workable for this.
I was even surprised. You know, Tom Wyeth is known for fast pacing. I mean, even actors will talk about it. He was like, faster, faster, faster. And I thought this did not have that typically brisk pace. I thought there were moments that, especially early in the exposition, I was like, okay, when is this going to start taking
off? I totally disagree. I thought it was super fast paced.
Well, I think we've established that you have
a different expectation.
Yeah.
Well, also you have a very short attention span.
Oh, I
also thought some of the earlier scenes had more what I'll call like smart humor, like wordplay jokes and things like that, which for me are a lot of fun, and I enjoyed having those building up.
I felt like the setup and the way that they played it, even the really, really dumb jokes, I found really funny. You know, oh, he's lost two fathers this morning. Well, that was careless.
Great joke. Speaking of, you thought the setup, thought the set was a charming little cottage with lots of shades of blue all over it.
It made me think of Greece. Like, everything in Greece is blue and white.
That's because by the time this is aired, you will be on a plane to Greece.
Well, yes, but I was going to bring that up.
Although it's supposed to be in London, because there is a reference to something, to an area of London.
They're
so it was
East
a little
London,
spacious and cottagey for East London, but what do I know?
I wasn't bothered by that so much as, and this is sort of, I think, the one complaint that I make in my review, is sometimes I think the set was a little distracting, like there were, because there was a lot of running around and slamming of doors, and occasionally like lights would flicker or something would look a little flimsy, and I was paying more attention to that.
If I can come back to anything, I think the physicality of the acting in this and the timing, like there's a scene where one of the cast members gets put into a window seat.
Right.
And the timing just has to be just perfect, and I thought they pulled it off well.
It's good at physical comedy, and there's some amusing stuff, and apparently a lot more amusing stuff for y'all than it was for me. But we'll just go with the fact that it was a very energetic, entertaining show for those who like farce.
And for those who don't.
Yeah.
We've been talking about Cash on Delivery at Swift Creek Mill Theater through June 24th. And I'm joined today with the executive director of Richmond Triangle Players, Mr. Phil Crosby. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to be here.
This is the 25th season of Triangle, which is incredible.
Yes, it is,
and
actually.
I know there's a concept behind this year. Tell us about that before we get into the actual shows that are in the season.
Not only this year, actually, it's going to be for 3 years. We're looking at an arc, if you will, of plays that have made a profound impact on the LGBTQ community, on the world of theater, and specifically on the Richmond community as well. So we'll be looking back at some pieces that we've done before, you know, in our old Fieldings days.
Right.
We'll be doing some classic pieces, if you will, that we've never gotten to before. And then we're on the lookout for brand new pieces which speak to the really big issues in our community.
This is an ambitious and enormous season. How is it going to play out? Pun intended.
Thank you. It is an ambitious season. It's certainly very large in terms of the cast sizes. But I think it starts really, really well. We found a brand new piece. Well, by the time you air this, it will have closed off Broadway. But it was a very big smash hit musical called The View Upstairs. And a modern day kid comes to buy this building. And it was the site of the largest massacre of LGBTQ folks in history until the Pulse massacre. And so it's a very touching and wonderful piece about a piece of history maybe we may have forgotten a little bit.
It's an interesting situation because it's taking contemporary, somebody new and young, and looking back on gay history in a way. So that's kind of, it works with your whole season, obviously.
Absolutely, and it sort of frames the whole season.
Right, so what's next?
Well, after that, we'll do a marvelous piece, looking back a little bit, and that's a piece by Carol Churchill called Cloud Nine, which is sort of a gender-bending comedy that in 1979 was massively daring, and today may not be as daring, but it's just as meaty and as sexy and as important as it was then. Because, you know, in 40 years, how much stuff has changed?
Really, really not. We haven't changed a bit, Phil.
You know, I haven't aged a bit. Certainly you have.
Well, thank you, Phil. That'll get you an extra star for your next review. And don't hold me to it.
Oh, damn it.
So what's next?
Then we're going to do our holiday piece. And so we're bringing back one. We had such a good time bringing back Scrooge and Rouge this past year.
It was fantastic.
We're going to go back even a little further to a piece that we did almost 15 years ago called The Sandaland Diaries, which I'm sure everybody knows.
David Sedaris, right.
A classic piece that's done every year. And we had a marvelous cast when we did it 15 years ago. Robert Throckmorton played Crumpet the Elf. And the curtain raiser for this show is another Sedaris piece called Season's Greetings. And Jackie Jones will play that role.
And after that is?
Well, then we hit the Acts of Faith season. Uh-huh. And we get a very provocative piece. It's a play by Terrence McNally called Corpus Christi, which resets the Christ story, resets it in 1950s Texas. And Jesus becomes a young gay man named Joshua. Other than that reset, if you will, it's a very reverential, very traditional piece. But, of course, there are folks out there who are going to take issue.
Have a hissy fit.
Yeah, because you've reset it in this way. Right. Hopefully we'll get some protests.
That'd be great. It's always good for press.
I know.
All right. What's next?
So we're finally going to do The Normal Heart, Larry Kramer's play. It's gotten a resurgence, of course, in the last couple of years
with
the HBO.
Well, it was produced with HBO, right.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting to get to the one I'm excited about.
Well, we're all excited about it. It's going to be one of the best-known musicals ever written, A Chorus Line. It's an amazing show. It's one of the first pieces to have a prominent lead gay character, Broadway show.
What are some of the things you know is going to be going on that are not part of the main stage?
We have our sister series, which isn't completely formulated yet, and our cabaret series, but we do have a few things that we do have set in stone.
Spill it.
One is a marvelous piece that was done by Firehouse Theater that perfectly relates to our 25th anniversary season called I Am My Own Wife, which talks about a transvestite who found her way out of Nazi Germany by literally pretending to be his own wife. Scotty Wichman did the show back at the Firehouse, and again, Scotty's going to be redoing it for us. We'll have a wonderful New Year's Eve celebration with a marvelous actor-singer named Nicholas Rodriguez. If you've been to D.C. to see arenas, sort of acclaimed productions of Oklahoma or Carousel, he was the lead in all of that. He's got this big Rodgers and Hammerstein baritone. That'll be a wonderful New Year's Eve. A little theater company up the street, Virginia Rep, and they'll be helping us celebrate our 25th anniversary by doing a production of the recent Tony Award winner Oscar-winning musical, Fun Home. It deals with some pretty dark stuff, but it does it in a very human way that I think everybody can relate to.
Terrific. So if people want to find out about any of these shows, where do they go?
Well, certainly on the website is a place you can go, which is rtriangle.org, letter R, word triangle.org. We're on Facebook as well. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Any of the places you would look these days, you can find us.
And just about everybody knows your phone number anyway.
It's been on walls for years.
So it sounds like an exciting season. And speaking of seasons, we will be seeing It Should Have Been You next week. And yes, that will be reviewed probably on a future Curtain Call.
Well, I hope so. I hope you like it.
All right. I do too.
You can put that star you owe me on there.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you, Jerry.
And that's it for this week's Curtain Call. Thanks for listening.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.